This morning, we welcome our own Roger Cleary as speaker. Roger is Professor Emeritus at Chicago's Roosevelt University in the College of Arts and Sciences Department, Department of Computer Science and Information Technology. He's a member of UUFM and an active volunteer.
Okay, I made it. Okay, emergence from CH3COOH, acetic acid, I guess better known as vinegar, to BMW. Now, if I have that wrong, Jim's going to correct me. Okay, this is August 2015. A little disclaimer to start off. The ideas in this talk are mine and not necessarily those of the UUFM or the UUA. You know that I am an environmentalist, an evolutionist, a scientist, a Darwinist. This is why I chose this topic. Most of us UUs have some understanding of evolution. Remember Darwin? Variations occur, some good, helping with the probability of survival. Some variations, not so good. On the other hand, the creationists, intelligent design, God design proponents have many arguments, one of which is the irreducible complexity. Irreducible complexity, IC, is a pseudo-scientific theory promoted by advocates of intelligent design. IC postulates that certain biological systems are too complex and to have evolved from simpler or less complete predecessors through natural selection acting upon a series of advantageous, naturally occurring mutations. The argument is central to intelligent design and is rejected by the scientific community, which regards intelligent design as pseudoscience. But then, how do complex things, biological or man-made, come into being? The answer to that question is emergence. The economist Jeffrey Goldstein defines emergence this way: the arising of novel and coherent structures, patterns, and properties during the process of self-organization in complex systems. Wikipedia, the fountain of all that's true, says this: in philosophy, systems theory, science, and art, emergence is the process whereby larger entities, patterns, and regularities arise through interaction among smaller or simpler entities that themselves do not exhibit such properties. Complex things, like stars, planets, or living organisms, consist of diverse components bound into larger structures. These structures are patterned in very precise ways. Example, you could study hydrogen and you could study oxygen, both gases in normal state, as long as you like, but without being able to predict the properties of water. Let's examine the process of emergence in steps. First, what is a system? You get to decide the boundaries of what's in the system and what's out. The digestive system, stomach is in, the heart is out. The Earth's ecosystem, water is in, air is in, the planet Pluto is out. Is it still a planet? Oh well. We think of systems as containing many parts that work together. But a toaster is just a machine, not really a bread heating and browning system. In business, the first real systems might be the railroads. Lots of parts, lots of people, and complex processes that need to work together. Systems share common characteristics. A system has structure. It contains parts or components that are related to each other. A system has behavior. It does stuff. A system has interconnectivity. The parts and processes are connected by structural and/or behavioral relationships. A system may be decomposed into subsystems, and subsystems and subprocesses, all of which can lead to elementary parts or processes. A system can exhibit unexpected behavior. Let me do that kind of again. Systems have structure, they contain parts, they have behavior, they're interconnected, the parts are interconnected. The system may be decomposed into subsystems, and systems exhibit unexpected behavior. Railroad trains crash. Cars suddenly accelerate. The electric grid goes nuts. Oh, that's good. Thank you. And Roger goes nuts. Oh, that's better. Okay. Here's one example. The Great Northeast Blackout. On Tuesday, November 9th, 1965, over 30 million people and 80,000 square miles were left without electricity for up to 13 hours, affecting parts of Ontario and Canada, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, and Vermont. The cause of the failure was human error that happened days before. Maintenance personnel incorrectly set a protective relay on one of the transmission lines between Niagara Generating Station and Sir Adam Beck Station Number 2 in Queensland, Ontario. One little mistake, and then suddenly, boom, the whole northeastern part of the United States goes blingo for 13 hours before they could fix it. Here's another example. The May 6, 2010 flash crash. It was a $1 trillion stock market crash. And it all happened in the course of 36 minutes. Computer system got screwed up. Everybody went nuts. Okay. Systems can be very interesting. Now that we know about systems, we can dig a little deeper. I will divide emergence into two parts. The first is synergistic, and the second is complex systems. The term synergy was refined by R. Buckminster Fuller, UU. He analyzed something in metallurgy. All metal alloys are synergistic. Chrome nickel steel has an extraordinary total behavior. In fact, it is the high cohesive strength and structural stability of chrome nickel steel at enormous temperatures that has made possible the jet engine. Now, chrome is a shiny, brittle metal, and nickel is kind of soft and dull. Mix them with steel in the right parts, and this is the part where there's a little bit of magic, and then you get chrome nickel steel, really tough stuff. Snowflakes forming in complex symmetrical and fractal patterns is an example of emergence in a physical system. Now, snowflakes are not ice, and they're not water, they're snow, which is a little different. Question here. Are snowflakes all alike? Are they all different? Well, the alike side can say, they all got six sides. They're all made of water. They're all cold. And yet, each one of the patterns that a snowflake makes is supposed to be different than every other snowflake. I've never checked that out personally. In the natural world, synergistic phenomena are ubiquitous, ranging from physics. For example, the different combinations of quarks that produce protons and neutrons, to chemistry, our popular example there of water, H2O, to cooperative interacting systems in the genes and genomes, or the division of labor in bacterial colonies, the synergies of small of scale in multi-cell organisms. A step up from synergy is complex systems. Complex systems add the components of learning and adapting. They have high information contexts. Complex systems are ones that have agents or entities within the system, and they have these four attributes. The agents are diverse, the agents are connected, the agents are interdependent, and they adapt. Complex systems are diverse, like ecosystems. You got plants, animals, water, soil. Complex systems are connected, and the measure of a measure of interconnectivity. If you have no connections, you can't have complexity. If you have too many connections, everything's kind of locked tight and it's not very interesting. But in the in-between zone, you get interesting behavior. Complex systems are interdependent. What one part does affects the other parts. Too much and you get chaos and a mangle. You need just the right amount. And they are adaptive. That is, how intelligent, how much can they learn? We can say that a system is complex when it produces interesting, non-periodic patterns, emergent structures, and emergent functionalities. Complex systems can build on other complex systems and gain complexity. Before you get chemicals, you have to have stable elements. Before you have life, you have to have complex chemicals, like our acetic acid. Before you get multi-celled things, you have to have single-celled things. Before you get civilization, you have to get agriculture. Before you get BMWs, you have to have people that can think. Now we're going to take an example here of Conway's Game of Life. And we've got this handout, and we're going to pass those around. This is a very interesting game. It's not really a game. It's just, it's called that, but it's not. I don't think I have quite enough for everybody, so maybe you can share a few of these. This got started in 1970, got written up in Scientific American, and in 1970, computer time was still expensive, and people started putting this on computers, and Time magazine said we wasted millions of dollars on this game, so I don't know. Okay. Here's how this works. You take a checkerboard or a grid, or a spreadsheet, I suppose. Each square or cell has eight neighbors, four on the corners, two, one on each side, and two, one on the top and bottom. So each cell's got eight neighbors. Each cell may be alive, that is on, or each cell may be off, or zero, dead. Now we're going to start this little game. We're going to put some checkers in some cells to start. And in the beginning, they just did things randomly. But we're going to do a little bit different. Here's what you do. You calculate the value for each cell. For each neighbor that is alive, you add one to the total. If that total is exactly two, then no change. So a little handout, two equals no change. Three equals on. 1, 0 or 1 is off. We say the cell dies from isolation. If the total is 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, the cell dies because it's overpopulated. Wow! So on the little grid here, on time period 1, I have 3 on cells, and they're all in a column. And then once I plug those in, we can calculate the value for each one of the cells. The upper left-hand cell is 0, and then the next cell to the right is 1, because it's connected kind of diagonally to that on cell. Then the one the right above the first on cell is 1, and then to the right of that is 1, and then 0. So you calculate that number for each cell, and I've done that in the little handout for you. You don't have to do all the math. So then, that's time period 0. I'm the creator. Then time period 1, we've done the calculations, and now we follow the rules. When we follow those rules, the three horizontal ons become three horizontal offs. The three horizontal ons become the three vertical ons become three horizontal ons. Now then you do the same calculation over again, calculate all the little values. And then you're in time period 2. And if you look at that, it's just like time period 1. So this kind of goes over and over. It just repeats over and over. It kind of goes sideways, up and down. Okay. Now, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little square there. It's just like mine, except it's got four little on cells instead of three. You think, well, that's just one little dot difference. How much difference can it make? But if you look at it, you have the four horizontal dots, and then it turns into a kind of a rectangle, and then it turns into a beehive. And the beehive is stable. It just sits there forever. Not very interesting. Okay, in the bottom left is something called T. Teronimo. Teronimo is like domino, but it's Teronimo. Anyway, now if you look at that, time period zero is just one little cell different from our time period one that we did before. How much difference can one little change make? When you look at it, time period one, you got something, a little thing with a hat on it. And then time period two, you have a little down pointing arrow. Time period three, you have a kind of a pattern. In time period four, you have a square with a hole in the middle. Time period five, you have a diamond shape. And then time period six, we have a more filled in diamond shape, which turns into kind of letter O, and then a bigger diamond shape. Time period nine, we have what looks like a traffic sign, sort of. And then we have the three little dots again. And of course, those three little dots are going to continue changing in the blinker on and off. And it kind of repeats forever. 9 and 10 just go forever. Kind of boring. Say, well, that's not really a game exactly. I mean, you don't play against anybody. You don't do anything like that. How interesting can it be? Well, on the great big square there on the right, if you look kind of in the middle there, it's got position of original R pentamino. The R pentamino has got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little on cells. And you let that run, and what do you get? Well, here's what happens. It keeps going for over 1,000 cycles. And in the 1,000 cycles, it generates 8 blocks, 6 gliders. Gliders are little things that just float around and float out. 4 beehives, 4 blinkers, 1 boat, 1 loaf, 1 ship. All from that little original 5 little dots. It's sort of amazing. It's just, people have constructed all kinds of things. What's amazing to me is this. It's simple, it's not much of a game, but it works really great on a computer. Populate cells at random and see what happens. There's stuff that doesn't change. There's stuff that repeats, like our blinker. And other stuff like gliders and guns. Where are the plans for the blinker, the glider? In the rules? I don't see any blinkers in the rules. Add one more on cell to the blinker, and in 9 steps, you get 4 blinkers. Start with 5 cells on the R pentamino. And this got it here exactly. 1,103 steps, and you end up with all those different things. Complex systems cannot be described by a single rule, and their characteristics are not reducible to one level of description. We have no magic formula, E equals MC squared, for this. They exhibit properties that emerge from the interaction of their parts, and which cannot be predicted from the properties of the parts. Let's look at some examples of complex systems behavior. The Society of the United States, well, that's got lots of individuals. Those are the agents. In the past, the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, gay people were discriminated against in lots of ways. I guess it was okay then, but it's really not. Slowly, with much effort, we gained gay rights. When Vice President Joe Biden said he thought gay people had the right to marry, the society was at a tipping point, as if someone had flipped a switch. It was now correct to be pro-gay marriage. Now, you can get married on Friday, and here in Tennessee, you can get fired on Monday, because most people assume it's against the law to discriminate against gays in jobs and housing, but it ain't so. We still have a long way to go. Another interesting case is cellular slime mold. That's the yellow stuff on your grass or on dead trees. Mostly cellular slime mold acts like single-cell creatures, kind of like amoebas. They eat, they poop, they grow, and they divide. But when times get tough, cellular slime mold send out a chemical signal. The single cells form into a slug-like multi-celled thing that can slither around. If things get worse, they form a base and a stalk. At the top of the stalk, they form spores, and those spores are cast into the wind to go somewhere and start over again. When the mold store count goes up, then you can't breathe. You're involved in this. Now, the last I have is a story. It's been adapted from an ancient Zen story. And this is the Zen story of the non-self. Zen people are always trying to find the non-self. This is a modern version. Roger goes to Zen master Doug T. Zen master asks, "Who are you?" "I'm Roger." "How did you get here?" "I drove my car." "Ah, is the motor the car?" "No, Zen master." "Are the wheels the car?" "No, Zen master." "Are the brakes the car?" "No, Zen master." "Is the electrical system the car?" "No, Zen master." "Is the frame the car?" "No, Zen master." Although Zen master Doug T continued for all 2,314 parts, we're going to skip over those. The Zen master says, "Then ask as I may, I can discover no car at all. Just the mere sound is this, quote, car. Just so with me. In dependence on 32 body parts and the 5 saganas, there exists a place, this denomination, Doug T. This designation is a conceptual term for the self. It does not exist in any of the parts of which it is made. And so it is, and so it is not. The self-emergence as a property apart from the parts. And when assembled, we get new and exciting things. I'm going to suggest that you check the web for the Game of Life, or if you're ambitious, write a computer program to do that and have some fun with that. So when your people say, "Oh, it's too complex to come up with simple things," you just say, "No, there's emergence, and it'll work." Okay, thank you.